Hello, everybody. This is Bible teacher Mark Browning coming to you this week from the actual radio station at KWCD 92.3 FM in beautiful Sierra Vista. Usually, you know, when I'm over here doing this, we're on a trip somewhere, and I am in Kentucky I've got a daughter there and a couple of grandkids, and so we're there for the Christmas season. But I came over to do this program before we leave town because I am your friendly neighborhood Bible teacher. I know that the other day we went and saw a Spider-Man. Jordan and Teresa and myself, we went and saw Spider-Man, and he's your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. I'm your friendly neighborhood Bible teacher. Really, what I want to tell you is that my purpose, my motivation is to make sure that everybody has the opportunity to find out what the Word of God, what the Bible teaches, because it's frightening to me to think that there are actually people that live and die in the United States of America that never have been given the opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say a couple of things that will get a few people mad at me, but I can live with it. I'll be okay. And that is, Christian religion has failed people. Christian religion no longer focuses on sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and getting people set free from the law of sin and death. Christian religion has just become some kind of thing that people do for a ritual or for a punch in their card. But I'm telling you, the reality of Jesus Christ, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, will bring change in your life, and it'll bring the supernatural revelations that you need in order to live in this world that's corrupt and terrible and led by people that don't know God. Oh, this country is so void of any quality leadership. We're being led by people that are clueless. I mean clueless. And it's our fault because supposedly we're the ones that put these people in power. But the good news is Jesus Christ is not bound up by politics. He's not bound up by wokeism or cancel culture. He simply came to set us free and to give us a new life in Him. And so that's why I'm here. I'm over here to share these things with folk and to give you this information. I am really called to the unchurched. I'm called to people that don't go to church or haven't been in a long time. I'm called to give you the information because you need to know this. This is the greatest story ever told. The Bible is inspired by Almighty God. It's life to those that find it, and it's health to all our flesh. And so what I'm going to do today, the last several Sundays, we've come to you out of John's Gospel chapter 1, which is some of the greatest verses in all the Bible, and they've probably had as much of an impact on me as any other verses. But today I'm going to read to you today, because this program is going to air on January the 2nd. Let me spend a little time talking about that before we get into the Bible lesson. 2021 is over, and now we're in the year 2022. Now, let me say this to everybody, because I know you guys know that. You guys that listen to me faithfully, that tune in faithfully, you know I'm straight up and that I don't play that religious game and talk about, you know, pushing everything off like it's some mystery. I mean, let's live in reality. I mean, let's think about the fact that how fast the year 2021 went. And I'm 62 in June. I'll turn 63. And everybody tells me this, all the people that have lived life longer than me tell me this. And that is, the longer you live, the quicker it goes. So it's just incredible that we're already in the year 2022. It seemed like last week we were talking about Y2K. We were talking about that, we're going to have a crisis. The computers are all going to shut down. The banking system's going to go crazy because they won't know how to adjust from 1999 to 2000. Man, I tell you what, we as American people, we got to be careful we don't buy into all this stuff people tell us. I mean, all the stuff these people are so clueless when it comes to this COVID-19 thing. I mean, there's some bad things that have happened as a result of it. There's been some tragic situations, but they don't know what to do. And all they keep telling you to do is to get vaccinated. And I want to go out on and tell you that I'm not opposed to getting vaccinated. If vaccinations will keep you from getting sick, if the booster shot will keep you from getting sick, I'm not opposed to people doing that. But the sad reality is a lot of these people with this new variant are getting sick and they are fully vaccinated. The problem is they don't know what else to tell you. I got something to tell you. Let's trust in the living God. Let's believe that the living God doesn't bring sickness and disease and all these kind of rotten, wicked, evil things. Let's understand that they came as a result of man turning the world system over to a madman, to an evil spirit. His name is Satan, and he's the god of this world. But through faith in Jesus, we leave his kingdom, and we come into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. And in the kingdom of the Son of God's love is healing and health. And we need to take our God-given authority and claim that into our lives, claim that over our lives, our families' lives, and not think for one moment that do you think those people that's running our country right now have a clue? The guy that's the president of the United States right now, he is clueless. He has no clue. He doesn't know what to do. He's being told what to say, and they use this virus to get him elected, and then they found out he couldn't do anything about it because it's out of his hands. He can't handle this, but Jesus can. Faith in the Lord Jesus will set us free from sickness and disease and pestilences and all that kind of stuff. But you won't hear this in Christian religious churches because they don't know it. They're still preaching condemnation. But I'm over here today to bring you good news. I'm over here today to tell you and read you the greatest conversation perhaps ever recorded, and that's the conversation between the Lord Jesus Christ and a man named Nicodemus in John's Gospel chapter 3. Now, most of you, I don't know where you're at when you're listening. Some of you are in your car. Some of you are on your way to your church, or some of you are just out and about. But if you can, I would highly recommend that you dust off your Bible and look these verses up for yourself so you can see them for yourself. But even if you don't, that's why I'm here. I'm here to get you this information. I don't want people to live and die on the earth and never know about the Lord Jesus Christ and never know some of the things that have been written down for us to be able to understand so we can experience eternal life. Eternal life. So here it is. Here we go. Everybody ready? John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was a religious person. He was in the great hierarchy of the Jewish religion. He was a Pharisee. He was a religious man. Verse 2. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Now, Nicodemus, later on you'll discover that he's actually, when they crucify the Lord and bring him down from the cross, you'll find out that he's one of the people there, and he becomes a follower of the Lord. But at this point, he's scared to come in daylight and talk to him. He has to come to Jesus by night because, you know, so much of our problem is we care what people think about us. We're concerned, you know, that somebody's going to think bad of us, or they're going to think we're weird if they find out we read the Bible or we love Jesus. Well, the longer I'm living, the longer I'm alive, I think you're weird if you don't read the Bible and you don't love Jesus. Because if you want to stay trapped in this rotten, evil system that we're in right now, good luck to you. So Jesus cuts right to the chase. Jesus doesn't play around. He cuts right to the chase with him. And he says in verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I'm going to read, and then I want to make some observations. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, being a natural man, being a religious man, but not being connected to God, doesn't understand. Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly," or in other words, I'm telling you facts here. This is the truth, what I'm saying to you. "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So here's a religious man that comes to Jesus. He's acknowledging that Jesus is working miraculous, doing miraculous things, doing things nobody else has ever done. He's acknowledging that. And then Jesus is telling him, listen, your religion, your attempt to reach God through your religion will not get the job done. The only way for you to actually make a connection to God is to become a new person, is to be born again, because in and of ourselves, trying to attain eternal life by our good works is a futile endeavor, because none of us can do enough to warrant or deserve the gift of eternal life, or the gift of the new birth, or the gift of salvation. Jesus is telling this religious man, your religion don't cut it. And that's what I want everybody to understand. Don't think for a minute that just because you think you're good outweighs your bad, and you're not as bad as some other people you hear about or know about. And I know most of us think we're not as bad as the people that's running our country, and we'd probably be right about that, but we're still not deserving of eternal life, because all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And what's wrong with all of us? Listen to me now. I'm here on January the 2nd to tell you this. I'm giving you the right information. I'm telling you what's wrong with all of us, apart from Jesus Christ, is we have the wrong nature. I'm not going to turn over there, because I'm going to stay focused right over here in John 3, but Ephesians chapter 2 says that we are by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Now, some of y'all that listen to me, I need to tell you something, and I want to say it to you gently. You don't go to heaven because you're good enough. Now, some of y'all are listening, and you think, well, I don't get to go to heaven because I'm too bad. Well, neither one of those is right. You can't be too bad, and you can't be good enough. The only way to receive the gift of salvation is receiving the grace of God that's imparted to us through our faith in the Lord Jesus. And so what God has to do is he has to make us new people. He has to give us a new nature. He has to make us his children and put his nature in us. And Peter says that we become partakers of the divine nature. And Jesus called it being born again. And notice he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. In other words, that which is born of your outward man, your flesh, what you can see is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The Holy Spirit, when you receive Jesus, recreates you from the inside, makes you a brand new person on the inside, and you are now worthy of heaven, not because you deserved it, but because of God's grace extended to you. Listen to me now. That's what I got to tell you. See, this religious man came to Jesus by night. And as far as crossing T's and dotting I's when it came to the Jewish religion, probably nobody was any better than Nicodemus. But Jesus is telling Nicodemus, that won't do it. See, just going to church on Sunday won't do it. Putting money in the Salvation Army bucket won't do it. Now, these are not bad things. Our society's better if we do them. Our society's better if we're nice. Our society's better if we raise our children. And our society's better if we respect our spouses and love our children and work hard on our jobs. Our society's better. But our nature still has to be changed, because even when we do those things that are worthy and that bring positive results into our society, there's still things that we do that make us fall short of God's glory. So God, in his mercy towards us, extends his grace to us and offers us a new nature. And that new nature comes through faith in Jesus. I'm going to keep reading. Now, see, this is the gospel. This is the good news. And this is what I want everybody to be able to understand. Now, there's a spirit of arrogance in our society, and a lot of our young people have it. Oh, they're arrogant. They think they're self-sufficient. They're headstrong. They're haughty. They're high-minded. But let me tell you something. One of the defining characteristics of a relationship with God is the humbleness it begins to generate in your heart towards yourself, towards God, and towards your fellow man. Don't shout me down now. So listen to me. Verse 7, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Verse 7, you must. Jesus speaking, the Lord Jesus, the Creator. Remember, last couple of weeks we told you who he is. He is our Creator. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Our Creator is telling us that we must be born again. You must be. And then he tells you that it's not something you can see with the physical eye. He tells you this in verse 8. It's not something you can see with the physical eye. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. See, you can't see the wind, but you can sure feel it. You can't see the wind, but you sure know it's around. Same with being born of the Spirit. You can't see it, but when the Holy Spirit recreates you on the inside, you know there's some change that has occurred. And you know that you've passed from death to life. You know that you're now a member of the family of God, and you're in the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Oh, that's a wonderful thing to know. That is a wonderful thing to know. I'm telling you, I don't care what you've done. I don't care how successful you've been. I don't care about those kind of things, because I'm telling you, your life's not going to really find its purpose until it centers itself on the knowledge of God through Jesus. Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? How can this be? See, he doesn't know. He doesn't understand. See, he thinks that he's got to do a bunch of religious ceremonies and fast and pray and, you know, go through all kinds of things that he thinks is making God be pleased with him. But see, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that the thing that pleases God is faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that it's impossible to please God without faith. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And Jesus answers and says to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? I'm going to skip down to verse 13. I want to get down to verse 13. No one, these are the words that are found in the Holy Bible, that Bible that some of y'all never have opened up, never have looked at. The sad thing is some people go to church their entire life and never get taught from the Bible. They don't even know about the Bible, and they've sat in church their entire life and don't know anything about it. Listen, the only reason why there is such a thing as Christianity is because of this Bible. It's the Bible that gives us the story of Jesus Christ and what it meant for him to live, die, and be raised from the dead. Verse 13, no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. Listen to that. Listen to that. Some of y'all, first time you ever get to hear this, a Savior came. His name is Jesus. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Now, verse 14, I want to spend a little time explaining. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, that's an interesting statement the Lord made there. Basically, back in when the Israelites were delivered from the bondage of the Egyptians and they were brought over to the Promised Land, an event took place that what had to happen is Moses would lift a snake up in the wilderness, and when they lifted a snake up in the wilderness, it would save them from being killed. And so the interesting thing here in verse 14 is that Jesus is saying that his death, that when he's lifted up, he's going to be lifted up like a serpent. Because what you have to understand is what Jesus did, and this is so amazing, and human words really are don't really convey it the way it should, but I have to give you the information and trust that the Holy Spirit will help reveal it to us more and more and more. You see, what Jesus is revealing in verse 14 is that he was made sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might become or be made the righteousness of God in him. He paid for all the sins of all people. 1 John 2:2 says that he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. Man. So when he was put on that cross, that's why he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because God made him sin. God punished him with the punishment that we deserved. He became our substitute. And he was worthy to be that sacrifice because he was the perfect, sinless God. And his blood was not contaminated by the sin nature. Now, I'm telling you, folks, listen to me now. There are millions of Americans, millions of people. This is going on the internet. I don't know if there's anybody overseas that listens to our internet program, but there are billions of people who don't know what it is I'm telling you, and that's what motivates me to keep telling it. Because I think about the fact that I could have lived my whole life and not been told these things. I could have lived my whole life in a religious environment and never really experienced eternal life, never really understood or known or knew or find out about the fact that through faith in Jesus, I could be born again. I can receive salvation. I can be called a child of God. And I could have lived my whole life and not knew that. And, you know, a lot of times some of us have head knowledge about Jesus. And, you know, we've been around the fringes of Jesus. And when we were kids, we may have went to church or we may have sung in a choir. And, you know, we're just out of the Christmas season and there's been some Christmas songs being played like Joy to the World and Oh Come All Ye Faithful. And those are great songs. But to really understand that our Creator, the person that made us, he made all things, John 1:3. All things were made by him, and without him nothing was made that was made. To understand that our Creator allowed himself to be nailed to a cross, knowing that the Old Testament proclaimed that cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, knowing that he had to be the curse that he had to become the curse, that he had to become sin, because none of us were worthy. There wasn't anybody else worthy. Nobody else was sinless. Nobody else could satisfy the requirement to be the spotless Lamb of God. Like John the Baptist said, the spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. See, that's what he's saying in verse 14. That's in verse 14 right there. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In other words, he was buried for our offenses. He was crucified for our offenses. And he was raised from the dead for our justification. Now, I gotta remind you of something. See, when you minister the gospel, you got to realize that there are people out there that are thinking certain things as they hear this. And so let me help everybody if I can. Some of y'all, like I said before, and it's worth repeating, some of y'all are thinking, well, I'm just too bad a person. I've done too many bad things. God can't forgive me. No, that there's no sin that Jesus didn't pay for. There's no sin that Jesus didn't pay for. It's he became the serpent that God lifted up on the cross, that whoever looks on him will not perish but have eternal life. So you need to understand that God loves you. His blood, the blood of Jesus, will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You need to know that. And then there's another group of people that's listening and saying, well, I'm a pretty good person. I mean, I'm all right. I haven't done some of the terrible things I see being done on the news. And, you know, I'm pretty good, so I'll be all right. No, don't do that. See, the Bible says that even if you keep the whole law but sin in one point, you're guilty of all of it. Because what the law brings is condemnation. The law brings wrath. The law brings judgment. Oh, I'm going to quote it again. I read it a couple of times in the past. But the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth have come through Jesus Christ. Oh, the law came through Moses, and it brought condemnation. It brought the laws. It brought the law of sin and death, because nobody could keep it except Jesus. And he paid for he sacrificed himself to fulfill the law so that God could give us the free gift of righteousness. So then he would then be able to release eternal life into our spirits, because only righteous people can receive eternal life. And the only righteous people in the eyes of God are those who are made righteous through faith in the Lord, and it's a gift to be received. It's not something you can earn. Oh, I trust you get a hold of that. I believe that there's people out there this morning that you're seeing that for the first time, and it's not being presented to you for, as you know, because I want to make you mad, or I want to get you, you know, fired up at me or what. I'm telling you, because I've had to realize that myself. I get caught up in thinking I'm pretty good, and then I realize how I act on the golf course, and I know, no, I'm not too good. I still need salvation. I still need the grace of God. I still need to rely on his goodness and mercy towards me, and not on my goodness and mercy. Can I get somebody to say amen out there? Now, here we go. Here we go. Verse 15. We're getting ready to read some of the most famous verses in all of the Holy Bible. Verse 15. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. Now listen, it is what we call the golden text of the Bible. And I have a little bookmark that we've created called I'm a John 3:16 Christian. And if you'd like one of those bookmarks, just shoot me an email. We'll get you one. You can put it in your Bible or put it in your books you're reading. Put it somewhere on your nightstand and look at it and understand that you are. If you really are, I mean, you got to become a John 3:16 Christian. It's the golden text of the Bible. If you've never heard John 3:16, then I get to start 2022 out by sharing it with you. If you have heard it, but you've gotten away from it and you've kind of let it slip from you, then I get to be the person that reminds you about it in 2022, and it'll cause you to get centered back on God. Oh, it's so easy. Listen, that's another thing about me. I'm not going to come over here and act like I'm holier than thou and I do things way better than you. I mean, life's tough. There's a lot of things that get our attention, especially in America. And there are multitudes of times that I have to get myself recentered on Jesus and recentered on God and recentered on the things in the Bible. Because I'm telling you, it's easy to let them slip away. It's easy to let them drift away. So some of y'all have never heard John 3:16. You get to hear it for the first time. Some of you have heard it and you've let it slip away from you. But you're going to get centered back on it because it's the essence of Christianity. It's the good news of the gospel. It's the essence of why I'm over here. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the first thing that's so phenomenal, and the Amplified Translation says, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world. God, listen to me now. God loves you. Now, I know we say that to people. You know, religious Christianity tells that to people. I'm just going to spend some time talking about this. Religious Christianity will tell you, God loves you. God loves you. But then, you know, your body's racking with cancer, you're depressed, you're broke, you can't get along with anybody, your kids don't like you, you know, and then, but God loves you. And listen, God loves you, and he loves you unconditionally. And God love, I learned this a while back, and it's in Romans 13:10. Love doesn't do any harm to a neighbor. See, love doesn't do any harm to a neighbor. I'm not sitting in my house wanting to harm my neighbor, steal their lawnmower, steal their wife, or, you know, damage their property. Love doesn't do that. Love doesn't destroy. Love doesn't kill. Love doesn't steal. Love wants the best for you. Love wants your body well. Love wants your mind restored and renewed. Love wants you to have enough money to be self-sufficient. Love wants you to be live in peace with everybody. That's what love wants. All these Christian religious people that are portraying God as schizophrenic and out to get you, they don't know what they're talking about. They haven't got a revelation of John 3:16. They haven't got a revelation. Somebody said, well, then why is all this stuff going on? Because we got to stay centered on that. We got to renew our minds to that truth. We have something we have to do. It's not just up to God. If it was just up to God, everybody would be born again. Everybody would be a Christian. Everybody would love Jesus and love their fellow man. But it's not just up to God. 2 Peter 3:9 says that God's not willing that anybody should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. But you have to notice, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, the choice is ours. Oh, that's what Christian religion has misrepresented about God. The choice is ours. It's up to us. God loves us. God demonstrated his love toward us in that he sent Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins. He laid on him the iniquity of us all. Listen to what Romans says. Listen to this. This is Romans 8:31-32, somewhere in there. Listen to what it says. For he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, does that sound like God wants to make you sick and God wants you broke and God wants you depressed? No, does that sound like that? The reason why these things are going on is because we're still allowing the devil and our flesh to dominate us. and we're allowing the natural world to control us instead of allowing our new, our born again nature, the new man that we are on the inside, we're not allowing that to dominate us. We're not focusing on God's love. And then we listen to Christian religion and we start believing it. And before you know it, we're in the same mess the rest of the world's in. But see, God's called us out of darkness. First Peter, God's called us out of darkness into the marvelous light of his Son. Oh, you got to embrace John 3:16. You got to embrace it. You got to think about it. Spend some quality time. 2022 is upon us. I mean, it'll seem like next week that I'm over here doing 2023. Spend some quality time meditating on the fact that God loves you. Let me read it again. Let's make sure we know how to act on it. Make sure we know how to act on it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God loves you. God demonstrates that love by sending Jesus when we were not worth saving. He demonstrated that. And then it's up to us to believe it. It's up to us to receive it. See, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So you got to act on it. You got to act on it for whoever believes in him. Believe in him. Believe that God did that for you. Believe that Jesus became your substitute. Believe that he became sin so that God could impart to you righteousness. Believe that he became sin so that God could give you eternal life. Eternal life means that you become a partaker of God's divine nature. You no longer have the sin nature in your spirit. In your spirit, you no longer have the sin nature. You become a partaker of God's divine nature. Now listen, look at verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, I don't have any business coming over here condemning anybody. I don't have any business condemning anybody. Well, how can I condemn anybody? See, that's what Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount. I don't have a right to condemn anybody. Why do I have a right to tell you all your faults when I don't take the time to look at my faults? I don't have a right to come over here and share condemnation with you. I have a right to come over here and share the love of God with you, to let you know that the war's over between God and you. He's not mad at you. He doesn't want you to stay away from him. He wants you to come. He wants you to come and receive his Son so he can have fellowship with you and be your Father, so you can get acquainted with your Creator. And your Creator is not a destroyer. Your Creator is not a murderer. Your Creator is not a thief. Your Creator is love. And he wants the best for you. Oh, there's a lot to talk about. Excuse me. There's a lot to teach about. But at its core, we as Bible teachers, we as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we do not have a right to bring condemnation to folks listening to us. We have to tell people about the grace of God that's found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I think we haven't had the success that we should have had in society, because I think Christian religion preaches a message of condemnation. It tells you you're not good enough, and it usually tells you you're not good enough, but the people that's telling you that are. That was the Pharisees' problem. That was Nicodemus's problem. That was why they killed Jesus. They killed him because they were envious and jealous of him, because he actually did good things. He actually represented God the Father. And he had the audacity to tell them that what they were doing didn't qualify them to receive the blessing of God. What they had to do was accept him because he was God manifest in the flesh. See, really, the Bible says that for this to be activated into your life, you just have to acknowledge that Jesus is God, that Jesus is Lord. Romans says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, 1 John says it like this. Let me read that. I wasn't gonna flip around because of time, but 1 John says it like this. Let me see if I can find it for you. Right here. 1 John 4:15. Listen to this very carefully. 1 John 4:15. Are you a whoever? Remember John 3:16 says that whoever believes in him will not perish. You got to act on this. Don't just listen to it today and not act on it. Don't just listen to it today and not partake in it. And it's not hard. It's simply acknowledging that Jesus is God, that Jesus is Lord, and God gave him up for you. He took your place. He became your substitute. And whoever calls on Jesus, whoever calls on that name and confesses that name, listen to what it says in 1 John 4:15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Let me read it one more time. Listen to it. If you're not driving and you're by yourself and you can do this, close your eyes and let this settle in on you. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. That's what I'm supposed to be over here bringing you, is the love of God. Introducing you to the love of God so that you can know and believe in it. So that you can know and believe in it and understand what happened 2,000 years ago. Understand what it's all about to be called a Christian. What it's all about to be a person who appreciates and understands and respects the Bible, because it's got the information in it that'll set you free from the corrupt, rotten, evil world we live in. And I don't have to tell anybody that, do I? I don't have to tell anybody that. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Whew, man, I don't know. Sometimes I just like to read these verses to you so you can see it. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Man, I want to tell you, I'm so glad you took the time to listen today. Some of you may have came on here accidentally, but I'm glad you're over here. I'm glad you got to hear that. I'm glad I got to tell you this today. I'm glad on January the 2nd, this is when it's going to air over the radio station, you got to find out about the fact that Jesus Christ was sacrificed for you. And the reason that Jesus Christ was sacrificed for you was because God loves you. And the reason why God loves you is because God is love. So listen, if you're listening by radio today or by internet today, and you've never made the confession of faith and acknowledged that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is God, and acknowledged that God laid on him all of your sins, that God put your punishment and your sins on him so that he could give you his righteousness. If you've never acknowledged that, let's do that this morning. Man, what a wonderful thing to do as we start the year 2022. What a wonderful thing to do. Say this with me. Say this with me. Say, dear God, say it with me. Say, dear God, I've heard the Bible teacher this morning, and I understand that Jesus Christ became my substitute. I understand that Jesus Christ paid for my sins, and I recognize that through my faith in him, I become a partaker of the divine nature. So I'm going to do what John 3:16 says, and I'm going to believe in Jesus, and I'm going to confess with my mouth, Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you are God, and you died for me, and you rose from the dead so that I could become a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that minute, you became a born-again Christian. You just did what Jesus said has to happen in John chapter 3. You actually experienced what's written on the pages of this book. You actually had that happen. See, this is not a fairy tale. We're not over here just making up stuff. We're not over here with some fable. We're over here with the truth of God's word. And if you called on the name of the Lord, you became a child of God. You became a new creature. You're born again. And you are now a member of the household of faith. Now, I'm going to ask you something. I know, see, again, and you, I want you to listen to this if you can. You can go on our website, lifeinchristchurch.net, and listen to these sermons more than one time. And you need to for a while. You need to get acclimated to the message of God's love. Religious Christianity preaches condemnation. Religious Christianity preaches doubt and unbelief, but true gospel preachers, true ministers of the gospel preach God's love and preach the supernatural manifestation of the love of God that should operate in our lives because we have faith in the living God. God is love and God is alive and God loves us. And greater is the God in us than the devil that's in the world. So go to lifeinchristchurch.net. It's our website, and you can listen to some of the past sermons. If you want that little bookmark that I made available called I'm a John 3:16 Christian, we'd love to give that to you. It's just a little bookmark. It's got John 3:16 on it, and then it's got our church information on it, but it's just a nice little bookmark that you can look at every now and then and be able to remind yourself, hey, I am a John 3:16 Christian. I have become a child of God because I'm staying centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, thanks for listening. It's so wonderful to have the opportunity to come over here and do this. And we're going to keep doing it because we want to make sure that everybody has the opportunity to hear about the love of God and about his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.